and welcome to another episode of Rainbow History Class, the queer and trans history that you probably don't get in school. I am Rudy Jean Rigg.
And my name is Hannah McElhinney. And yeah, what do we got? What do we got today?
All right, Rudy, what are we talking about?
What have we got? I need to lean back in my chair.
Clocking in for another day of queer shit. Listen, So I've been doing this thing. I basically needed to reimagine what it means to cook food for myself at home. I got to a point where I am doing this thing where I'm trying to use up everything that's in my fridge and my freezer, whatever.
I love doing that. I love a rundown of the stores.
Yeah. And it's like, so look, I've never worked in hospitality, so I can't draw on any experiences in terms of like managing a kitchen per se or anything like that. My sister and my mom have always really been into food. I'm like more of the food critic, like not that I critique their food, but like I'm more of like the sort of like the, you know, they'll come to me and they'll be like, Rudy, this isn't tasting right. And I'll be able to break down the science behind it for them and then like kind of fix it that way. So I'm not really like, I'm a passion cook, but like I'm not in the same way that they are. So I have found it quite kind of hard since moving out to sort of like find my place in the kitchen. Which as I say it now, do I want a place in the kitchen?
Is this because you're non-binary and some weird gendered thing? I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, but I found it really hard to sort of like feel excited to cook, even though I like always look at things on Pinterest and go, oh, I would like to make that. And I feel like I've come up with a hack for myself. And that is that I have imagined my kitchen and my like sort of like making food thing as like a restaurant. And I designed a menu, like not just like the items on the menu. I like literally from scratch designed a menu. And
do you play Overcooked?
Yeah, I love Overcooked.
Okay. Because this hack is like a whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I, I kind of looked at what I had in the fridge and then I was like, okay, so I've got like X, Y, Z. And then so I'd make up like a whole week's worth of menu. And I wasn't just writing down like tofu curry, like or whatever, or like use zucchinis today. It was like lunch, a delicious selection of seasonal vegetables paired with a pan-seared, like whatever. Like I was really like, I was writing the copy for it and I've been loving it. I've been really loving it. I feel very like set. It's almost like a set and forget thing. Cause I feel like past me has really done future me like a solid and like kind of created this like almost like mini experiential thing, even though like I have to go and go, okay, what am I eating? And then maybe cook it or like prepare parts of it. Mm. It's been really good, you know? And I feel like it's like, I don't know. It's kind of like put a little pep in my step. Cause I feel like I've been making better food because of it.
I mean, I love that. Did you know I do that every week?
Really?
And I have on a whiteboard.
Really? Are you like just writing like plain as day, like the items or are you like?
No. I mean, I'm not putting like a full description, but I'm putting down like lunch, the name of the dish, the sides it's served with.
Oh, okay.
And like everything because, so I do all of my, well, most of my shopping at like, it's not a farmer's market because it's not organic or anything like that. It's just kind of this fresh food market where all, I guess, people that are in the fruit and vegetable business in some way like rock up and it's like either they're extra stock or like it's just other money for them or something like that. I'm not sure.
Wait,
but this is cheap.
This is a place where for ages you were saying my herb guy and I was literally gin. Like I thought you meant like your herb guy, but no, it's literally your herb guy.
No, I mean like coriander and dill.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Jim, everybody needs, it's cause a couple of years ago, it was one of my like New Year's resolutions to, cause I was reading all these cookbooks and at the beginning it was like always had this recommendation to like make friends with your local butcher or your local like fishmonger, or your local. And so I was like, I need a crew like this anyway. Mm. So that's how I have a herb guy. Yeah. I need my suppliers anyway. So yeah, that's what I do. So I go and if I ever have to shop from like a major supermarket brand that like it cooks everything, it like my whole budget is blown, you know,
I hate it.
I hate it. I absolutely hate spending with the supermarkets. So normally I go and I get whatever's cheap and then I look and I kind of Tetris it into a bunch of meals and I sit down and then that's what I do. I like have this whiteboard, which I keep, and it's kind of, I like do all of the dishes that I'm going to make and make sure that everything's there. And then I go ahead and cook, except for where it gets funny is for some reason I have this joke with Hannah about like radicchio being a special occasion vegetable because we were at the markets and it was autumnal. Like it was really like, it was like produce chic. We're being like full lesbians. I was in my overalls. I was like, we bought some flowers and bread and stuff like that. I was like, oh yeah, you know, I'm feeling like autumnal. Like let's get some radicchio, blah, blah, blah. And then each day when it came to kind of make that meal that we'd planned with it, we were like, oh, I'm just not really like in a radicchio mood, or I don't want to like blow the radicchio this early in the week. We were just coming up with these bullshit excuses about like not eating the radicchio. Realistically, it's because we just wanted like pasta and not a bitter leafy vegetable.
Yeah.
But now we have this joke where every time we see radicchio, we have to buy it and like have a ceremonial meal or like a beautiful meal with this radicchio.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I absolutely get it. And it does like, you know, that it does put the pep in your step because you're taking care of yourself and giving yourself great experiences. And that's what life is.
Yeah. I feel like I'm having like a kind of like a weird Julie and Julia?
My favorite film.
Yes. Yeah. It like kind of moment with myself in that, like, you know, I love trying food. I love making food, but like I like it in my own way and I have my own real personal experience with it that is really different to like my mom and my sister who bond like between their like same way they look at food and like engage with food and cooking and stuff like that, in that like I just have always been like out of like the classic autistic thing to like just eat the same like low bar nutritional food like for every single meal weeks on end until you don't want it anymore and then you switch. And I think doing this whole menu thing is like really helpful because it's like, not that I should be like not rewarding, like not allowing myself to have the same meal, but I understand that as someone with like associated health, like gastrointestinal, like health problems, like I do actually need to be on top of my nutrition. So this is like a really great way, not only invest in my like literal physical health, but like also my just like well-being, which I find really nice. And I, you know, it's like everyone's on their own like food journey for like, you know, whatever reason. But like I've been really enjoying it, especially because like trying to get more in touch with like the seasons and like really.
Oh my God, I'm trying to get in touch with the seasons as well.
I'm really having trouble like getting onto winter. Like they're just not picking up their phone.
It's just because it's just autumn.
Yeah, they still on leave.
Well, yeah, then it's not, they're not even due.
Did you get my joke? I said because they're still on leave. I'm getting so good at this. I mean, okay, listen, I will start the episode in just a minute, but I have to tell you that I have watched the entire like catalog of Bob's Burgers episodes twice over now. They're like the love of my life, that show. And everyone that I've ever known can attest to this. I could not understand, nor could I create any sort of pun, play on words.
Yeah, yeah.
I have no concept. I found it excruciatingly hard. It was actually a point, like a pain point in some other work Hannah and I were doing, because like Hannah is like, this is her bread and butter, and I was really struggling. And so, you know, I think we were like kind of struggling in our creative duo because I just could not get on the same page as you. But I have literally cracked the code to this and it has changed my life, being able to make jokes like this. It's like superpower.
I doubled took and now I feel like, you know, I have sold myself short. So will you just say that bit about winter again?
Okay, sure. Let's take it back. Yeah, I just can't get in touch with winter. Like they're just not picking up their phone.
Yeah, they're kind of cold like that.
Yeah. Are they still on leave?
I don't know. But like if we were to move in from, you know, food, obviously you came for the queer and trans history. Mm. What you got was some bad puns and a food preparation hack. What are we talking about today, Rudy? What have you got for me?
Well, I've got a great one for you today. We are talking about our favorite blue shark. And now before I tell you this shark's name, I have to say we had a video go viral last year where we went on a trek to IKEA to hunt this baby down. Now I got roasted.
We filmed a full video in IKEA.
Yeah.
Multiple cuts.
And I'll have you know, you're not allowed to film in IKEA. Okay. Now IKEA, if you're listening, We didn't film in your store. I don't know what you're talking about. But we risked our lives going in there to film.
Because it was like a Saturday morning. It was a...
There was children screaming like, in literally every shot.
We had to
go
into the kids section and we were filming in the kids section. It was challenging in so many ways.
I think about that often.
Noise, their parents.
It was weird. Actually, at the end of the
staff.
Video. You watched the end of the video. The final line. I don't know what the final line is. I say the final line and then there's this kid screaming. And that's the cut. I just cut after this kid screams. And it's so funny. Anyway, I got roasted. What was I saying? I got roasted for how I was pronouncing the name of this
Yeah, the Swedes came
shark.
For us.
And I understand. But what I did not expect from these people were that they were furious with how I pronounced it. Now, I don't know about you and what you know about Australians, but we are absolutely known for just taking a word and saying it phonetically.
And just like, butchering.
And just butchering it. And
we say every letter and every vowel.
Yeah, exactly. And I have learnt my lesson. However, I will say in the comments, there were multiple different streams of pronunciation. So the two that...
Why don't you start with what you said?
Okay, I said Blahaj.
I said Blahaj.
To me, Blahaj is what I know, it's what I love. However, I am open to change. So the two ones that I kind of took away as like the main ones is Blaha and Blohai.
I got Blohai.
Blor?
Yeah, Blohai.
I'm going to go with Blohai.
Okay.
All right. Just on the record, that's what I've chosen today. So let's get on. So we're going to talk about how Blohai became a trans icon, a trans mascot, loved by the masses, really. I'm going to take you on a journey. We're going to start at how sharks kind of entered into the pop culture sphere to begin with. To get some basics out the way, for those of you who don't know who this character is, Blohai is a character that is a plushie created by IKEA. Blohai was launched by IKEA in 2014, so relatively quite new. And as soon as Blohai was launched, pictures on the internet started to pop up of this shark sort of settled in IKEA scenes doing human stuff, sitting around a table with more Blohais. And yeah, it was like this whole phenomenon that sort of trickled into places like Reddit, and they also kind of went into Tumblr too, of course. But I think that's a given. Anything kind of weird and wacky ends up on Tumblr. But since then, Blohai's popularity has spread, and it's spread out into things like fan fiction and fan art, and in particular memes.
Fan fiction.
Yeah, fan fiction of like Blohai. And like, I don't know, Blohai is a businessman. Or something, you know.
Yeah,
okay. I didn't want to click on them. Okay, I didn't.
Yeah,
want to
I never
want to in.
Click on fan fiction.
No, so it kind of had a small cult following online as this lovable shark from IKEA, but tragedy almost struck.
No,
and in 2021, Blohai was set to be discontinued.
Why?
Apparently, they were having issues with like resourcing and like, you know, like what do they call it?
I feel like every company uses that as an excuse to stop doing something fun.
Yeah.
Resourcing.
Well, like, you know, they couldn't get the materials or something.
Okay.
You know, and so they were like, we can't make Blohai anymore. Like, sorry.
But they could everyone. Make all the other plushies.
I don't know what was going in their minds, but they clearly were not in touch with who their consumers. That's
right.
All I can say.
Okay. Okay.
Now, what happened was people didn't just like allow this to go on because it was just like they loved this shark. This shark was bringing immense like wholesome joy to the internet. And so a petition on change.org started and urged IKEA to reconsider and basically to save Blohai from extinction.
Oh.
And
the Lord's work.
If this got IKEA's attention, and this tweet had, and an IKEA spokesperson told Insider, like the magazine, that they had no plans to discontinue the toy, but that it was only temporarily unavailable because of ongoing supply issues. So
okay.
I don't know whether there was a miscommunication and the original information about it being discontinued was actually incorrect, or whether they kind of backstepped and didn't want to admit that they were recommissioning essentially this toy and rather just said that it was only temporarily not available.
I don't know what's worse.
I don't know what's worse. So that's really the backstory. That's the origin story of Blow High. So let's just put Blow High in their little IKEA flat pack for a second. And let's look at, I know, I just feel like, I wish they made like little baby Blow Highs. Like I just want a little baby.
It's two sizes, right?
Yeah, but I want like a little pocket.
You want
power.
Like a third? Yeah.
Okay, so this is where I want to take a detour because I think that what's really interesting about this and what has interested other people because other people had written about this was that sharks in pop culture are like deceptively popular and we really do almost latch onto a lot of shark characters.
Like Shark Tale, the shark from Finding Nemo, Sharknado.
Yeah, like characters and stuff like that. So what I thought we would do and to test your knowledge.
Oh my gosh, a game.
I've got another mini game.
Yay.
So this is called Between a Rock and a Shark Place.
Okay. Oh my God, your pun skills, incredible. Might I say jaw-dropping.
Thank you. I don't have anything past that.
That's right. I've been doing it a lot longer.
I'm only new to the game. All right. So in this game, what I'm going to do is describe a popular shark.
Okay.
And you are going to guess either the name of the shark or the name of the thing it comes from. Just you got to just be able to identify the shark or okay. the shark adjacent like property.
Got it.
So we'll start off easy. So this shark is South Korean, was launched in 2016 and has a homage to it in Ted Lasso.
I don't know any South Korean sharks.
Why are you counting on your fingers?
I don't know.
Take shark. I really thought this was going to be easy. The word shark rhymes with what character's last name in Ted Lasso?
Baby Shark.
Yes.
There exactly. We go. I was like, South Korean shark. I get it.
Okay.
I get it. I totally forgot about Baby Shark.
Okay.
Oh, I'm not doing good at this.
All right. Maybe I'll pick something that is potentially a lot easier. So this comes from an Australian-based story and he's evil and he has a name that rhymes with loose.
Bruce.
From?
Nemo.
Yes.
How is that an Australian-based story?
Aren't they in the coral reef?
Yeah, in California.
No, they're not.
They are. There's coral reefs in California.
Where is Finding, I swear to God, it's set in the Australian's Great Barrier Reef.
Is it?
Yes.
But in Finding Dory, they end up in.
Maybe they migrated.
That's a long way for a little fish.
Maybe they were clowning around. I've got it.
Well, that's the end of that, Dory.
That was good. All right, next one. Okay, so this shark. Yeah, I can say that word. I was like, am I playing Taboo? I don't know what I'm doing. This shark loves to read the weather in the morning and spins around.
Shark tail?
Think more conceptually. You said it before.
I said it before. Mm. Sharknado.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I was like, likes the weather report? Sure.
That was terrible.
Okay, it was really bad. Okay, this shark scared off people from swimming.
Jaws.
Okay, there we go.
There we go. You should have started there.
I know, but I didn't know how good you were going to be. All right, I had to.
Okay, not that good as it turns out.
Okay, this shark can't dance and had its 15 minutes of fame in the 2015 Super Bowl.
Shark Tale?
No, it's not from a movie.
Progress Shark?
Oh my God, I did not include that in this
list. World Pride?
I did not include the Progress Shark in this lineup, but this is someone performing as a shark and I need you to tell me the performance that it was part of.
I'm going to need another clue.
Their song was used as part of the Australian MasterChef theme song.
Katy Perry, Hot and Cold is the song.
Mm. But what was this shark's involvement with Katy Perry's performance?
Oh, did someone wear a shark suit?
Yeah.
Katy Perry wore a shark suit.
Not Katy Perry.
Taylor Swift.
I can't believe you don't remember
this. No. Who was it?
So it was this random backup dancer named by the internet Left Shark because everyone was pointing out that Katy Perry's Left Shark couldn't dance, like the choreography. I feel like it kind of got overtook by like Backpack Kid. who was part of the same performance.
Yeah, it definitely did, because I know all about Backpack Kid.
Okay. So I will do one more. Now, this shark is actually not a 100% shark. Okay, so that's the first clue. And the second clue is that they had a sidekick that was an elemental sort of person.
So shark tail.
Why is everything shark tail?
Because you haven't done a shark tail.
Because you continue to say it.
Okay.
So it's something and something, and everyone had a crush on one of them.
Do they live under the water?
Oh, I guess they spend some time there, yeah.
And it was an element.
So the other person was an element.
And there was a shark and an element.
Mm. Are you going through your vowels?
Yeah, I'm trying to go through the elements.
Okay. They were kids. It was like a kids movie.
Fire?
You're on the right track.
Fire and shark. Shark fire.
No, they're separate.
Shark and fire. Friends.
Yeah. Shark and fire was kind of close.
Steam.
No.
Explosion. Heat. Hot. Hot yeah. Shark. Toothy hot shark.
No, the shark isn't hot. The other person is hot.
Fire and fish.
I think you need to add like a descriptor onto like the signifier of their power. There's a descriptor that goes with it, like an identifier.
Yeah, there's no way I've heard of this.
You definitely have.
There's no way I've heard of this.
I'm gonna cry.
I've definitely never heard of this.
One of them had pink hair.
Shark Boy.
Yes.
Oh, Shark Boy.
Okay. And Lava Girl.
Oh.
Oh, my God. I that was like literally pulling teeth from a stone or whatever that phrase is. Or a shark.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for playing Between a Rock and a Shark Place with me.
I like your queer history more than your game show hosting skills, by the way.
It's fine. Thank God I don't host a game show.
I think we can both agree that's the case. In my head, I'm just like, okay, cool, come up with another shark pun. No.
I know. No. Just please stop with the puns. I'm speechless.
No, that's right. Puns are done. Finn.
Okay. Someone come and save me, please. Get me out of here. So now we can, okay, we've painted the picture now through that terrible game, which will never be played again, that sharks are actually in our consciousness, they're there. We love sharks. You know, I think they're a fail-safe kind of option because you get to play with the whole, like, they're, like, evil and menacing, but then you kind of mix them in with, like, they're actually lovable and, like, that
they're just, you know, enacting their shark nature.
Exactly. Like, and, you know, that shark from Shark Tale that Jack Black plays, Lenny, I think his name is. Yeah, Lenny. He's a vegetarian. So
that isn't Bruce's as well from Nemo.
Are they? Is that
fish are friends, not food.
Interesting. Interesting. See, look, good philosophy coming out of these shark stories. I deliberately avoided saying shark tales.
But they really are denying their true nature, which feels homophobic.
A little bit. And I guess, like, yeah, I think we can always talk about queer coding with literally any sort of stereotype. Really.
Negative stereotype.
Negative stereotype. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about our little guy, Blowhigh.
Okay.
So there was a very strong uptick in Google search results of Blowhigh around 2020. And yeah, it was kind of coinciding with the beginning of the pandemic, right? And no one can really obviously explain why, like, for sure that happened. Maybe a meme went super viral and everyone was trying to figure out what this plushie was and the story behind it. Like, for sure that could have been the thing. But some people also say that people were looking to feel like connected to something, and they were searching and purchasing this plushie to feel sort of tangibly connected to this sort of like wholesome online community that exists because like there's this like kind of
like a comfort collective, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like the Reddit thread for Blowhigh is like really wholesome and cute and lovely, and you know, like on Tumblr, like it's sort of always been this sort of touch point of wholesomeness, I think, and so it's really understandable why in a time like 2020, people were looking for established things that they could really connect to feel some sort of community and sort of like comfort.
Yeah.
So, you know, you had that aspect of it, but then you also had the affordability aspect of Blowhigh in that it was, you know, relatively more affordable as a plushie.
It's like $12, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Like yeah.
I think the big size is 35, but like, okay, it's like a massive plushie compared to like, and I'm not hating on Sanrio, don't get me wrong, but like, you know, you want to buy like a Rilakkuma or like whatever. I don't think that's Sanrio. Anyway, like they're like $70+ like to get legitimate ones, you know.
Yeah, okay.
The knockoffs by the time you pay the postage, blah, blah, blah. So you can see now why people were going, yeah, I want one of them. Get me one of them. And also, people were like decorating their apartments and their places.
I also just feel like IKEA was really sort of safe space during the pandemic. Yeah. Particularly like we're in lockdown. It was like one of the approved open shops because it was like kind of necessary. And I took so many trips to IKEA then.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember like, I got like a couple of like deliveries of like furniture and stuff from IKEA. Like it was one of those places that, you know, had little fun treats that you could like add. And so, yeah, like the plushies clearly were going to become popular. So what about the trans thing though? Because like the thing about Blowhigh is they're not just a queer icon. They're a trans icon. They're a trans mascot, which is sort of few and far between if you really think about it. There's a lot of things that represent our community on a whole. For example, like the Progress Shark, which is a kind of a new sort of Australian-based thing that kind of came out of World Pride in 2023. Was it 2023?
Yeah.
Wow, that feels like so long ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then, you know, you've got things like the Mothman we've spoken about, the Babadook, whatever, are kind of more specific to particular intersex of niches. But Blowhigh is just a trans icon. So how and why did this happen?
Is there some connection with Russia? I seem to remember a lot of like early Blowhigh memes were from Russia.
I am not sure. I did not come across that in my research.
Yeah, I feel like it's something that's a fact in the back of my head. Anyway, we can check that.
Okay.
Carry on.
So these memes and these jokes were coming up in places like Tumblr. Now, where do the queers hide?
I don't even think they're hiding.
Where do the queers frequent?
They do. Tumblr.
Tumblr. Okay. So really, I don't want to like go, comparisons when there's not any, or drawing conclusions where there's not any, but like, you know, people on Tumblr, large percentage of queer people on Tumblr, these memes were getting kind of like popularized. There is, I think, a safe assumption in assuming that perhaps queer people were behind it and putting their own little fruity spin on it, okay?
Mm-hmm,
And queer people are on, like, things like Tumblr because it's a safe space for them. Like, it's safe for us to be in our communities on Tumblr, have a place for community and a place to sort of, like, create our own ecosystem of jokes and stuff. Like, we see it all the time. There's, I mean, not so much now with TikTok and, like, a lot of stuff going, like spreading to the masses quickly.
Mm-mm-mm.
But back in the day where the life cycle of, like, a Tumblr post was probably, like, 6 months before you could really say that you kind of, like, traipsed all corners of Tumblr, you know, it kind of did make for these little ecosystems where people were just creating and circulating like in jokes almost. And it's kind of like one of those things where Blowhigh may have been like a little in joke in a community and then that bubble popped and then Blowhigh kind of like went out into like the masses.
Blowhigh blew.
Yeah, absolutely popped off. Now, writer Megan Cherry, let's just say Cherry, contrasts Blowhigh's association with the trans community against how middle-aged white women first found Minions to be funny. Have you heard about this?
I mean, I know about like Minion Mania, but no, tell me, and I cannot.
Oh my God. Okay. Okay. So middle-aged white cis women.
Yeah, like, my favorite.
Yeah. All I can think of is like that Bo Burnham song.
Yeah. White yes. Woman's Instagram. Incredible.
They beautiful. Love Minions. And again, I'm like maybe this was like 10 years ago. I don't know. They loved Minions. They thought they were like cute, like non-assuming, like non-violent, like little guys. They could really get behind. Really,
I really like Minions, but yeah.
Yeah. I kind of secretly like Minions too. And then I get scared about how much Minion porn probably exists.
I mean, but there's a bit of Blowhigh porn.
Ew, I'm sorry. Sorry, I don't want to yuck in his arm. I take it back, but please don't do that to him. Okay, these white women made a swath of like live, laugh, love style memes, quotes, images with the iconography of Minions. So you'd have like it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
But first coffee.
And that sort of thing. And then you had like a picture of a Minion holding a coffee cup or like doing a little smile. Like, and they
loved them.
Right? Like, I love them too. There's like, you know, something about it.
I meant the white women.
Exactly. Oh. Sorry, it took me a minute to catch up. So Megan has made this comparison between white middle-aged cis women who love Minions and the trans community and Blige. And they say, early adoption of a meme incites ownership. Like it or not, the internet's attention span is a game of first come, first serve, and goes on to say trans women simply got to blow high first. So it's kind of, it is true, because it's like you see the kind of attachment or uptick in use of a particular, you know, icon with a particular group of people, and that group of people just like sort of assumes ownership over it.
Yeah, okay.
Which is kind of like I kind of get, and I'm like, yeah, because it's like your community, your like your space in the internet was sort of the first to kind of like, you know, I was going to say reduce, reuse, recycle, but like.
Just without the reduce.
Exactly.
Just the recycle.
Exactly. So what does IKEA think about this, right? Because like, you know, they've had a petition come through where people are like saying, please don't kill Blowhigh. You're going to commit like an extinction event against our beloved character. They've noticed it. They've said, hang on, we can't do that. All right. Like, we're going to keep Blowhigh in circulation. And then of course, moving past that initial use of Blowhigh as just this wholesome meme, it has now been onboarded by the trans community as someone to get behind.
Right, okay. So they just the trans community just stumbled across Blowhigh.
They stumbled and then said, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to kick you, and then picked them up and just continued walking with them in hand.
Yep, got it.
So has IKEA noticed Blowhigh? Well, they have. And in a really interesting way.
Did they miss the trans memo? Like,
well, that's the thing. Like, maybe they're in a T for T relationship, Hannah. Maybe the polar bear is trans. You ever thought about that? The bed's for all.
I can tell you that up until this point, I have never thought about whether or not the IKEA polar bear is trans. Well, but you've put that into my mind. So
yeah,
thank you.
Well, see, yeah, maybe it was like a really, IKEA didn't even know the complexity of the relationship that they were, you know, purporting. And again, will we ever really know whether they did it because they knew that like the trans and queer community were like frothing over this shark? Oh, no, we probably will not know. I would love to interview the person who put this forward in the pitch. But until then, let's just assume that they did have some kind of like overview of the fact that this was sort of a thing on the internet, and they did decide to take an established queer icon, that being Blowhigh, and insert it into their campaign. Why IKEA decided to become political about this issue, I'm not sure, but they did, and it was great, of course. Like, I love it when a brand does something really genuine and wholesome like this. But it wasn't their first time supporting same-sex marriage or queer rights. IKEA has a long history of doing this. In fact, in 1994, IKEA released the first mainstream commercial ever to be made featuring a gay couple.
Yes, I've seen this.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Wow, I've forgotten about that. Yeah.
I highly recommend checking it out. But this was in 1994, so it was still during the AIDS crisis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and really interesting too, because it's like it's homeware and it's furniture for everyone. It's not really marketed towards any sort of certain demographic. Obviously, they probably do have their marketing like internal marketing demographics, but like, you know, in terms of like who goes to IKEA, it's everyone.
No, it is. It's yeah, absolutely.
Like,
it's like the great equalizer. Everyone deserves like Scandinavian furniture.
Exactly. The bed is for all. Like,
yes. No.
And so they did that. They had those two marketing moments, but in 2022, IKEA Canada donated a specially designed Blowhigh named the BU Blowhigh to Halifax Sexual Health Center. And this Blowhigh is really special because it's like a trans Blowhigh. Not just in like, it's not as if like IKEA Canada was like, here, this is a trans Blowhigh, like, and it was its regular colors.
I mean, the regular colors of a Blowhigh is the trans flag colors.
Well, yeah, I guess.
I guess it's like blue, white, pink.
Yes. Well, this Blowhigh that the Halifax Sexual Health Center got was a Blowhigh that is more distinctly pink with a more sort of trans flag accurate blue. And it has, I think, some embroidery on one of its fins, which is really cute. And people were like tagging us in the Halifax Center's like post about this Blowhigh, saying like, rainbows, you guys, like, look, here's the trans Blowhigh. And I want to get my hands on one of these so bad. Like, I really...
I want you to get one too.
Like, I don't know how do we get one of these? Do we need to, like, contact IKEA Canada?
Yeah, let's send some emails.
Actually, maybe IKEA Australia will do it.
Maybe.
Maybe they could call their mates in Canada. I mean, look, that's what IKEA thinks about it. So clearly they've recognized the blowhy is an icon, which...
Hard not to.
It's hard not to. Blowhy's everywhere. Blowhy's in your cupboards, sitting at your table.
In your bed.
In your bed.
For all.
And so IKEA, love that you noticed it. But what are trans people saying about blowhy? Because obviously, okay. Like, okay, it's one thing to be like, yeah, that thing's gay now, which is something that the internet does a lot. But the trans community does have specific reasons and is able to some extent articulate why they've attached to blowhy so much and so fiercely. So a Reddit user explains that plushies, including blowhy, are popular within trans feminine communities because they are, quote, a low-key way of expressing femininity, and blowhy in particular, because it's like, it's sort of like not this sort of like flowery doll. It's like sort of, it does have that masculine edge, but it's soft and comforting and has all those same sort of elements that we're speaking about with like sharks and popular culture. There's something lovable about them. Yeah. And so I thought okay. That was really sweet in sort of a way to.
And I think it is, but I feel like it's, if plushies are childish, I'd never thought of them as feminine. But I guess, you know, it depends. Femininity is infantilized.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you grew up as a girl. So.
Yeah.
A different, I guess, like lens there. But I mean, you're right. Like, I think it's like, because it depends what your parents were doing too, right? Because it's like, if they were giving you only plushies that were like super like Care Bears and stuff. Like, Care Bears is maybe not the greatest example, but like, you know, like little dolls and things that were plushies. That's like, yes, more semiotically like feminine than like a grizzly bear plushie, right? So that's one way that I think is a really nice read on blowhy being accessible touch point of femininity for trans feminine people.
Okay.
And then trans masculine people on Reddit say that they love sharks in general and things that, you know, other quote 8-year-old boys would love, because again, it's like that sort of reclamation and getting back in touch with one's childhood that they didn't perhaps have.
I definitely get that. Yeah. I definitely get like sharks were like when I, for most of my youth, I really saw like a gender binary as the dichotomy between sharks and dolphins.
Really?
Yeah. Like I just thought boy, girl, shark, dolphin.
That is so true. That's like if you're a rat or a frog.
Yeah. That's how you know, and I don't know, it's not that I was like told that, but I definitely like, that's like a pretty deep set version of gender for me.
Back in like the Y2K times, we were being exposed to a lot of like dolphin, frangipani, glitter, sun, sea, surf sort of.
It was like my entire personality. Yeah. And to be honest, I still love the magic of a dolphin.
I can't get behind those shady motherfuckers.
Really? They were my very first like special interest. I know so many breeds of dolphin. I was sick of the bottlenose hegemony in terms of how dolphins were depicted in popular culture and really sort of took it upon myself to kind of like see more common dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, look, I respect that, but my first exposure to dolphins was watching, it was reading Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and then watching the film. Have you ever seen it?
No.
So, okay, well, it's been out so long, I'll spoil it for you. Sorry. But dolphins are evil, basically, and they want to like take over.
I know, I feel like that's like a common misconception. Like that's a common thing with dolphins. Like the dolphins are evil, but they are magical creatures.
It's a common misconception that dolphins are evil.
I think so. I think it is. And you know what? I think it is. I think it's like one of those things where it's like the acceptable alt belief is that sharks are cooler than dolphins because dolphins are like a basic girl thing, right?
Smooth brained.
Literally. And I think it's like cool to go against, you know, people that came of age in the Y2K. It's like there's this thing about going against dolphins by saying that they're evil and standing instead in favor of sharks because they're kind of, you know, moodier and, you know, framed as the bad guys. But dolphins did not ask to be milkshake ducked like this. Dolphins did not ask to be put on a pedestal by various Y2K tween brands and then ripped off it by that film.
Shark Tales.
No. By that film, Shark Tale. Exactly. So, I mean, I ride for the dolphins, but you know what? It's not really about dolphins. This is about blow high.
All right.
Blow holes.
Not, yes. Justice for blow highs. Stop dogging them. Now, listen, as I've said throughout this episode, there's really only anecdotal, like, sort of first person perspectives on why people, like trans people, love blow high, why the queer community on a whole really champion blow high. I think it's just one of those like happenstance things of like, we were kind of, there was a gap in the zeitgeist. It was time for a new sort of character to enter the canon, and blow high was just there at the right place, right time, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that the fact is, I love that everyone has their own take, their own reason for loving blow high. Me personally, I just love getting behind a wholesome little guy. I just love a character. I collect plushies. I like love characters. I love animated things. I love anything. Like, I'm not a furry. Let me get that straight. That's on record. But I love like kind of stuff like that. The fact that I can imagine blow high being like a 9-to-5 businessman, but quitting that life to pursue like opening like a knitting store. Like,
I think you need to write some blow high fan fiction.
Like, but I can get behind that. Do you know what I mean? Like, and so there's no real hard and fast reason. Like, you know, conservatives was like, why blow high? I'm like, why not? You know, why not? And I think I want to end on a couple of quotes that I got. The first one is from an article where someone quotes, when you hold blow high doesn't judge, blow high simply understands. Which I'm like, I don't need therapy. I just need blow high.
And, you know, compared to the cost of therapy,
blow high. I could have like 10
blow highs. You could have
even
a big one.
I could fill a room of blow highs.
You could. And maybe that's what we all need. No, I think that's beautiful. Thank you so much for stepping me through that. Sharks are not something I've ever been super excited or passionate about, you know,
well,
coming
really,
closer to.
Well, you were really passionate about Shark Tale earlier.
I know, but that's because, I've not watched it, but I'll tell you this much. Thank you for stepping me through. I feel like it's nice. I think the thing is that like a community, every team needs a mascot. Mm. And I think there's, you know, when a community gets together and kind of can lift up an icon to be a mascot, to be their representation, it's something innately human about like selecting a leader, selecting a mascot, selecting a representation. It's somehow democratic.
I mean, yeah, I think it's like a self-elected, like community elected thing. And I was laughing because it just reminded me of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy again, with like the whole like selecting a leader, that being the evil dolphins. But I think it's true. I love it when we point out and just go, it's them, they're it. And everyone goes, I guess so. I think it's really wholesome. And I think it's one of those things is like, you know, you're right. We all need a mascot. We all need something to believe in. And the fact is, blow high is just like a silly little shark, and they're there to like bring us comfort and to make us feel seen and to connect us back into it, you know, with our inner child, and to provide a sense of community and to make us feel less alone. And I think that it's really special when it happens, because it's that you can't take that feeling away. And like,
especially, you know, if you think about 2020 and you think about the impact the internet had on like a lot of people figuring out their identities. And I think for, you know, trans or gender diverse people, there's a lot of pushing and pulling against different kind of like reference points to help you figure out where you sit or where your identity, you know, might be currently, where it's like evolving towards. And I think having kind of communities around these things, it helps you kind of be invited into different areas where you can kind of like push and pull and kind of work out what your identity is. So I definitely see how in like time, like 2020, it's an easy in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just think about it this way. Like, so many people bonded over the fact that they were trying to develop the perfect sourdough bread. It's kind of like, it's kind of the same, like in it's you kind of like it's one of those just like coming together over a thing.
Yeah, and that thing can really be anything.
Yeah, it can be a little silly guy. Little silly guy. If you've got actually, you know what? I don't have a blow high, but I'm waiting for the special one. I'm waiting.
You want the Canadian trans one?
I want that. I want that damn shark, and I will not stop until I have that shark. So that's kind of where I'm at. I do feel bad I don't have a blow high. I did suggest we get it one today before recording, but it just wasn't meant to be. And I respect the will of the universe.
I know. I made us get a falafel instead of a blow high.
Well, I needed dinner, so that was a good choice. But that's it for my story this week. Hannah, thank you for sticking with me and playing that ridiculous mini game that I put on the table. I can't say it'll get better, but I can say I will do it again. but yeah, thank you for tuning in and listening to this week's episode of the show. We love, love, love hearing from you. Thanks to everyone who is dropping us a DM saying how much they love the show. Thanks for giving us 5 stars on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It's absolutely insane that we've received such incredible, heartwarming feedback. This is really like a passion thing for Hannah and I, and to be able to sit down and share longer episodes with you is really like such a highlight to our week. So thank you so much for being here. If you want to come and chat with us on socials, you can go over to our Instagram or TikTok. Stay tuned. We will be bringing you a Discord soon. And you can head over to our Patreon if you want more exclusive content. Like we do a couple of episodes where we just kind of shoot the shit. It's a show called Detention, and we also pop things like pre-sale links to shows and vlogs and things when we get up to silly goose business. But yeah, Hannah, do you want to leave us with something?
Yeah, I want to leave you with something that I always like to leave you with, and that is an affirmation. The haters are right. Not everything is gay, but there is gay in everything, including the IKEA market hall.